unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that do so. And so we need the Lord to bless our homes. And I hope that really is all of our heart's prayer for our homes. I know as our home continues to grow and we get ready to expect our first child, that song means more and more every time I sing it, just getting ready for what the Lord might have for us. We're going to turn to Proverbs 31 tonight. Proverbs 31. We've been in this series of Proverbs since February, and we're turning now to the end of the book of Proverbs, not because we have completed the series. We have many more topics to look at in the book of Proverbs, but because I thought, what better day to talk about the virtuous woman and the woman that excels them all? What better day to do that than the day in which we honor mothers and we honor the ladies in our church? Now, in turning to Proverbs 31, and we just sang a hymn talking about, Lord, please bless our home. This morning, Pastor preached a message talking about how we can teach our children and train them in godliness. Last Sunday night, we actually had a whole message dedicated to parents and children from the book of Proverbs and the specific commands there. But in turning to Proverbs 31, before some of you say, oh, this is just a message for a mother, that's not true. It's interesting that the only person in the Old Testament, the only lady that is called a virtuous woman, does anybody know who that woman is? It was Ruth. And it was Boaz talking to her. And again, you have this relationship forming between her and Boaz. But at the time where Boaz said, Ruth, you are a virtuous woman, Ruth was a single lady. And so this virtuous woman, this is not just for wives, this is not just for mothers, this is something that's for all of the ladies in our church. This is a picture of a truly beautiful woman, whether married or not. And we'll see there is that special relationship between a wife and her husband, and that's specifically highlighted here in this passage. But whether or not you're married and whether or not you have children, I hope this can be applicable for all of us tonight. And even to us as men. If there's a man here that's unmarried, I was thinking earlier, it's interesting, between Matt Byford and Nicholas, we don't have any consistent age group between that. But if we had youth here, I would really challenge them tonight, make sure this is the type of lady that you are pursuing. So Nicholas, pay attention, all right? All right. And I won't. He seems to have already found his. I don't want to cause any complications there. But for husbands, even, as we read this passage and as we study it, I hope the Lord will give us just hearts that overflow with praise and admiration for the wives that He has given us. No wife is ever going to fully, completely measure up to this perfect standard that God sets for us. No one can measure up to a perfect standard. Just like we're told to be Christ-like and to pursue that with all of our efforts, but no human being will ever achieve that, yet we still pursue after that. And this is the ideal that God sets forth for women. And so husbands, I hope as we look at this passage, we understand, okay, what is a truly beautiful woman? That it'll just drive us again to say, wow, thank you, Lord, for the wife that you have given me and the wife that you have placed in my life. It was interesting, as I was preparing to get married, I did a lot of studies on, okay, what is the husband's role? What is the wife's role? What is a truly beautiful lady like? And I remember just writing down during my devotions, I said, I wonder what marriages would look like if husbands recognized the true beauty that their wives had. You look in the world and men end up not being satisfied with their wives and they start pursuing someone younger. They start pursuing the outside, the attractiveness that's there on the outside. And it's like if you would only realize the true beauty and the jewel that you have, that would not happen. So husbands, I hope we will learn to value tonight the truly beautiful characteristics of the ladies that God has placed in our lives. We're not going to start in Proverbs 31. We're going to go somewhere else first, but we're going to spend most of our time here. So let's go ahead and read, starting in verse 10, all the way down through verse 31. And we can't see this in our English translation, but really what you have, starting in verse number 10, all the way through verse 31, it's similar to the acrostic you have in Psalm 119, where each section begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Well, here it's not different sections. If so, we would have 176 verses on the virtuous woman, which may be beneficial. But what we have here is just the 22 verses. But really what it is every verse is starting with, in English terms, it would be A, B, C, D. Some people say this is the A to Z's of a godly woman. Now, we have other verses in the Bible that tell us there are other things ladies need to know as well. But truly, this is a very full picture of what God expects from a woman in the picture that He says, this is the ideal that all ladies should be pursuing. So let's read, starting in verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth faithfully trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth the needy. She is not afraid of the snow. All her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." And most people think verse 29 is what her husband and children are saying there. Then it says in verse 30, "Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Let's go ahead and pray. Then we're going to take as detailed of an approach as we can looking at these passages tonight with the time that has been given to us. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for your scripture. Lord, I thank you just for the practicality of the book of Proverbs again, and Lord, the clear pictures and descriptions that it puts before us. I pray, Lord, for the ladies in our church. Lord, thank you for the godly ladies that we have here. And yet, Lord, I pray that for each one, they would see the next step that they need to be taking in your word, and that they would see, Lord, what you would have them to change and maybe just adjust in their lives to meet what you put before them as the glorious woman in these verses. I pray that we would be a church full of families, Lord, that are blessed by you, that we would be dedicated to living our lives for you. Lord, give me wisdom as I speak. Empty me of myself, Lord. I pray that the words that I speak would be your words and not my own ideas from your word. But God, this would be your message for us as a church here in Manhattan, Kansas. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned that before we turn into these verses and dive in, just in keeping with everything that we've been doing, I want to start with talking briefly about some ungodly ladies, ungodly women that we encounter in Proverbs. If you turn over to chapter 2 of the we meet the first lady, and really the primary warnings against this lady are to young men, because you have the adulterous woman. And in chapters 2, in chapter 5, in chapter 6, in chapter 7, really you have elongated discussions where Solomon is telling his son, avoid this lady, stay far away from her. And so the warning in Proverbs is not as much to ladies, don't be this type of woman, but it is needed for us to say tonight. In chapter 2, and you look down to verses 16 and 17, he's talking to his son and he's telling him to get wisdom. And he says, this is what wisdom will do. It will deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. And just a few things to note, and we could turn to other passages to flesh this out more. But you notice in verse 17, the primary thing about this lady is she forsakes the guide of her youth, referring to her husband. And then the parallel there, again, Hebrew poetry, what it does, it's not word rhyming, it's thought rhyming. So it says, okay, she forsakes her companion of her youth, but then look what it says, she forgets the covenant of her God. And just a reminder for all of us in our marriages, with me and my wife, with you and your spouse, ladies, with your husband, you have made a covenant before God. And if you are going to go into the area of an adulterous woman, if you're going to start turning your back on that, you're not just turning your back on your husband, you're breaking a covenant that was there before God. And so it's not just an issue between you and your husband, but that's the start of an adulterous woman. She starts looking beyond her marriage. She starts looking elsewhere for satisfaction. And she seduces, and you see here, she flatters with her words. It says many young men, and many kings even, it says in Proverbs chapter 30, have been slain by this woman. She's a very seductive, very powerful woman. And I hope that will never happen to any ladies in our church, but it is a lady in Proverbs that it warns against and says, don't be like this woman. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22, you see a woman that lacks discretion. Proverbs 11 and verse 22, and I love the comparison here. It says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Basically saying you could be the most beautiful lady in the world, where you walk down the streets and the world praises, wow, that is a physically attractive and beautiful woman. But it says if that lady is without discretion, it's just like a pig with a ring of gold in its snout. Which if you've ever seen that, that is not a pretty picture whatsoever. And so ladies, we want to be ladies of discretion. I don't care what other qualities you have. If you lack discretion, the Bible said, you are an ugly lady. That's not my words. That's what the Bible says. I agree with it, though, so it is my words. But that's what the Bible says. We need to have discretion. Don't lack it. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And then the one that comes up again and again in Proverbs, I didn't even put all of the verses down, but it's the contentious woman. We'll come back to Proverbs chapter 19, but turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, we want to look at two verses here. Verse 9 and then verse 19. Because really what you see in Proverbs, really the writers of Proverbs, he's writing to his son and he says, if you have a contentious wife, honestly, I feel sorry for you. Is really the idea you get from Solomon and these other authors that are here. But Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 9, it says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Solomon's talking to his son and he says, I don't care if you have a house the size of this church. I don't care if you have a large bedroom. I don't care if you have a glorious house. He says, but if your wife is a wife that's constantly causing that contention, he said, it would be better for you to go on top of the house and to live up there. And their rooftops were not quite like ours. They had a flat rooftop. Sometimes they would have a kind of balcony up there. But he said, it would be better for you to go sleep out under the stars than to be coming home to a wife that's just constantly causing that friction and that quarreling that is there. You look at verse 19. He says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Really comparing contentiousness with anger there, because that's what happens. A husband comes home, he says something, the wife answers back, and before you know it, there's just this outburst of anger that's there. Now husbands, there are also commands in Scripture about us not being contentious and us not being angry. So we need to make sure that we're not doing that either. But ladies, the Bible in the book of Proverbs has much to say about the harm and the hurt a contentious woman can do to her husband and to her household. Turn back a page or two to Proverbs chapter 19. Because this gives us a good segue into looking at, okay, then what is the woman that God wants us to be? Proverbs chapter 19, in verse number 13, it says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. But then it says in verse 14, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. So first of all, talking about just verse number 13 there, it says a foolish son is the calamity of his father. And then what they compare that to, just like a foolish son brings destruction and calamity upon his father, it says so also a contentious wife is a continual dropping. Talking about just an annoying drip, 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 drip. It's interesting. I should have double-checked this, but I remember as a young man hearing that there's a certain type of torture where they lay you on your back, and what they have is they have a spigot above you, and all that it does is every 3 or 5 seconds, there's just water that hits you on the forehead right there, and you're just looking up at that for hours and hours and hours upon it. They use that as a form of torture. And it says, husbands, And wives, when there's this tension in the home, it's a continual torture that's there. And wives, it says that you can be the cause of that. You can be the cause of that calamity and tension in your house. But then it says in verse number 14, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers. And it says a prudent wife is from the Lord. Another place says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Proverbs does not say husbands don't ever get married. No, what Proverbs says is husbands, when you marry the right wife, you're going to have a beautiful marriage. You're going to have a wonderful life. A prudent wife is from the Lord. And we have to turn to the end of the book of Proverbs, back in Proverbs chapter 31, then to say, okay, what is this prudent wife? So we saw the ungodly women in Proverbs. Now let's talk about the virtuous woman, which we see here in Proverbs chapter 31. And we have a lot of material to cover, so we're going to be moving quickly. We're going to try to flesh out as much of this as we can. Proverbs chapter 31, in verse number 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So to start tonight in talking about the virtuous woman, let's talk about her great worth. The great worth and the great value of an adulterous woman. It asks a question here at the start of this section. Very first thing it says is, who can find a virtuous woman? Where is she to be found? Emphasizing how rare a precious jewel this is. You know, it's interesting. I've heard that they're holding diamonds back from production sometimes because now we have mining equipment that can get them out and produce them a whole lot quicker. But did you know what would happen if diamonds were just everywhere all of a sudden? They lose their value. They're no longer a rarity. There's no longer that unique, special thing about it. And part of what plays into the great worth of a godly wife is she is very rare. This is not something that you're going to encounter that often. It's not something you're going to encounter often in Manhattan, in our community. It's even not something that you always encounter in a church of godly, Bible-believing Christians. It's a rare thing. And then it says that it's a very valuable thing. She is valuable. That's in that second part of verse number 10. Not just rare. Her price is far above rubies. Proverbs 18, verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Just like when you find that diamond, when you find that ring, maybe you gave your wife a piece of jewelry for Mother's Day, maybe it's been since your wedding or at other times, but you say, okay, here's this diamond and this is beautiful and I love it. I'm going to give it to my wife and show her my love. That's a beautiful thing. Jewels are precious. But the value of a precious wife, and I remember as I was looking for an engagement ring, this really hit home. It was like, okay, I can spend this much money on it, but I was like, you know what, that's worth it because my wife is more valuable than that and I want her to see some of how valuable she is. Because the Bible says when you have that virtuous wife, when there's that virtuous woman, whether you're married or not, if you are a virtuous woman, your price, your worth is far above anything in this world. This chapter in Proverbs sings your praises. You are extremely valuable. But then look at verse 11. It says, with this virtuous woman, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She's a trustworthy lady. And it's not just a casual read over that. It emphasizes here her husband. It's Mother's Day, and we heard a message this morning talking about, okay, how can we raise our children and train them in godliness? That's excellent. We need that, absolutely. But wives, the husband comes up again and again in this passage of, this is the most godly woman in the world. And what it's saying is, wives, primarily, the person you are seeking to do good to is your husband. I was listening to a message on Proverbs 31 this week, and he was emphasizing again and again, mothers, with your children, invest in them, absolutely. But a child should never take the place or the relationship of a husband. A parent should never replace or take away the relationship of the husband. Your primary target as a wife is your husband. The Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands, and it gives a lot of specific instructions between husbands and wives. And husbands, for us as well, Our love for anything else in the world other than God Himself should never compare to the love and the effort that we put into investing in our wives. That's the primary love. That's the primary relationship that God has given us in this world if you are married. And so husbands and wives, let us not neglect each other. And Karis and I have said many times, and while she's been expecting, and we say it almost jokingly because we don't have the tension there yet, but I know sometimes when a newborn baby comes into the world, the mom starts being divided between taking care of this baby and the husband can become jealous and everything like that. And I've told Karis, as long as I have your heart, I'm going to work to not ever be jealous of that because I know you're committed to me first and foremost. We'll say things like, oh, I can't wait to see my son. He's going to be so wonderful. I'm going to love him so much. But then I'll always say something like, but Karis, you'll always be my most precious baby to me. You'll always be that most precious person in my life. And that's so important for us to keep. And it's easy for me to say that. Right now it's just the two of us in our immediate family. But I hope and I pray that before the Lord, Karis will always be my favorite person and the person I love most, the person I am most active in her life. As children come along, yes, invest in them. But the primary emphasis in Proverbs 31, it's not just in verse 11. You see it in verse 11, but look down to verse 23. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. It's interesting. Many different commentaries point to this verse as a central verse of the passage. And we don't have time to explain all of that. They think there's a chiastic structure there. But again, her husband is coming up. And then at the end as well, not only are her children praising her, but her husband also, and he praises her. Her children are not mentioned that often in Proverbs 31. Yes, do be investing in your children. We see that other places in Scripture. But ladies and wives and husbands as well, our primary focus, our primary target has to be each other. If there's not a good marriage relationship, then there's not going to be a good relationship in the family. I heard someone once say, ladies, if you can't submit to your husbands, how in the world are you going to teach your daughter to submit to you? If you're not modeling the submission and the respect and the love for your spouse, then what in the world is your child going to do when you expect them to give that to you? They won't listen. They'll say, okay, that's what you're saying, but I see how you treat your authorities. I see how you treat each other. And they're going to completely disregard that. But let's talk about the trustworthiness of this. It says, verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. It's interesting, in looking this out and in studying this, there are not many other places, if any at all in the Bible, where it says you can trust another person. Actually, you look at Proverbs and it constantly says, no, don't strike your hands in a pledge. No, don't do that. Avoid that. You cannot trust that person with your money. You cannot trust that other person with your well-being. It warns against this type of trust. It says, no, put your trust in God alone. He is the one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on Him. But yet it's interesting, in Proverbs chapter 31, it says, with a virtuous woman, the heart of her husband, he has full confidence and he has no need to worry about everything that his wife is doing and what she's conducting in. And you think about trust. And really, I think it can be stated positively and negatively. Not negatively as in a bad way, but in a negation with a no in it. Negatively, there's no need for her husband to worry. He's not at work worrying, I wonder what's going on at home. Oh, I wonder what my wife's doing. Oh, I wonder if she's, spending, I don't know, whatever amount of money on a new dress or on this or on this or on this. He doesn't have any need to worry. That's why God says, if you are trusting in me, then worry is sin. When we worry, that shows that we're not trusting in God, because God has everything in control. And when we worry about something, we're saying, God, I don't trust what is under your control. And so when it's talking about the husband trusting his wife, ladies, what that means is that your husband doesn't have to worry about the things that are under your control. So negatively, there's no worry there, but there's that complete confidence. There's a complete confidence in the things you're overseeing. Maybe he's getting home late from work and he knows, you know what? My wife knows what time we usually have the kids in bed. I can trust her to do that. Or maybe he's late from work and you usually have a family devotion time at night and he's like, you know what, I can trust that my wife's going to get that accomplished, she's going to get that done. Or maybe it's just, I know that when I'm away from the home, my wife is going to be implementing the discipline and instruction of our children that I want in our family. And so wives, the virtuous woman, this glorious woman that we have here in Proverbs, she behaves herself and conducts everything in the household in a specific way where her husband has that complete confidence and trust in her. And that's such a wonderful thing. But then look at verse number 12. Why is she trustworthy? Well, it's because she has this consistent character. Verse number 12, it says, she will do him good all the days of his life, and he shall have no need of spoil. And so you see there, she has this consistent character. Her husband doesn't have to worry about what she's going to do to him. She's going to do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. And this is why he can trust in her. A person is not proven unless they're consistent. If one person is something one day and they're completely something different the next, and you say, okay, I don't know which person I'm going to get today. You've heard people say this. I don't know if I'm getting this side of this person today. I don't know if I'm getting this side of Charlie today. It's like, I don't know what it is. I don't know who I'm going to get. Well, it says with a wife, every day of her life, all the days of her life, she's doing her husband good. And again, emphasizing the target of a wife's love and a wife's submission. It's to your husband. Just as husbands for us, it's to our wives. And to our children secondarily, absolutely. But there's that consistency there. She is devoted to making her husband's life easier. She serves the husband that God has placed into her life. You look down at verse 23, and as a result of that, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And what that's talking about there is this is a man of high position. He's there sitting with the elders of the land. They're discussing, they're judging the issues that are coming before them. And ladies, it's what it's saying is your lives and your character at home has a direct impact on your husband's work and your husband's ability to be respected in the community and to have a solid and a firm foundation at home so that he can then do his work with the elders and he can be an influence and a blessing in other people's lives. So she has this consistency. It's not just a love and a service for her husband, you know, in that honeymoon phase for the first 6 months or we may still be in the honeymoon phase, 3 years, you know, what? It's not just those little, oh yeah, I'm going to serve him when everything's going well. Oh, you know what? My husband did something nice for me today. I'm going to do something nice back to him. Yeah, I can serve him. He's a wonderful person. I've often heard it said the real test of servanthood and submission is when you're actually treated like a servant. The real test of my love for someone is, am I going to love them when they treat me like dirt? Now, husbands, I have you in this room as well. Never treat your wife that way. Never respond that way. But ladies, and husbands for us as well, even when our wife is quarrelsome and contentious, we still love, we still invest in them. The Bible makes that very clear. Love is Christ-loved. But ladies, the same is for you. Even if the husband is not reasonable, even if the husband is not that, you should be seeking to do him good in your life. And you may think that's far-fetched, but turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, a very familiar passage. But I just want to read this again. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 2 and then read a little bit from chapter 3 as well. 1 Peter is a book written about to the Christians, and they were enduring a lot of suffering, a lot of persecution there. And Peter's writing saying, keep up, even under the suffering, even under the persecution, still be faithful to the Lord. If you look at chapter 2 of 1 Peter and then you look at verse 13, this kind of starts the section. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Basically saying, submit yourselves to the government. No matter how evil, no matter how wicked the government is, keep submitting to them. Then you look down to verse number 18. It says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. talking to the servants that are in this relationship with its master, that it's a little different than our employer-employee relationship today. This was a worse circumstance, and it says, keep serving them. I know it's unjust, I know it's not fair, but you are committed to them, and so keep serving them. Not just to the ones that are good and gentle, but also to the ones that are wicked and fraud and crooked. And then look at chapter 3. The next command, this is the next command in this section. Likewise, it says, again, going back to those servants. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man or hidden woman of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. What it's saying there in chapter 3 is, ladies, I just told this to the servants, that they need to continue to be submissive to their masters, even when it's a bad situation. But what Peter writes here under the inspiration of God is he says, in the exact same way, wives, be submissive to your husbands, even if they don't obey the word. Your conversation, your lifestyle, your submissiveness to them, your virtuous woman, and we'll get back to that here in just a second, you're displaying of what a glorious woman is, this consistent character. It says they can be won without the word, or you could even say without a word, by the lifestyle of their wives. And so ladies, this ideal that God sets forth is not just for the ideal marriage situation. No, this is a situation where God says, this is your husband who you've committed yourself to for life. You therefore do everything in your power to do him good. And if you turn back to Proverbs chapter 31, it shows the eternal commitment that is there. For all the days of her life, she's going to be doing him good. So there's that consistency. Every single day, for all the days of her life, she's bound to her husband until death. Just like you said at your wedding, until death do us part. This is what I'm going to do. And that's what the virtuous woman does. And then what we have, so we see her great worth. We see all of these characteristics, these general descriptions. We see her character that's there. And then what it does in verses 13 all the way through verse 27, it starts to tell us, okay, what does her character consist of? What is this consistent character that was just praised? Okay, she's very valuable. She's very worthy. She has this wonderful character. And all the ladies are going, okay, great, I'll try to do that, I want to do that. And then what it says here in Proverbs 31, verses 13 through 27, it then says, okay, here's what I mean by that. She does her husband good all the days of her life. She doesn't do him evil. Okay, here's what that looks like. So let's dive into her actions that we see here. What is this consistent character? And first of all, and we're not going to take the time to read this whole section again, we'll kind of pick different things out of this. But first of all, what we see is that she is a hard worker. And maybe you picked up on this earlier. I was struck by it again, studying it this week. Just the hard working mentality that this lady has. Under that, she works gladly. We see this in verse 13. Verse 13 says, she seeketh wool and flax. And it says, she worketh willingly with her hands. And that word willingly there, that has the idea of, this is not a chore for me. I'm happy to do this. You know, we see this with children all the time. Hey, Tommy, can you go clean your room? Yes, Daddy. And he goes and stomps over and he cleans his room, but he has this begrudging attitude and he's upset about it all. Well, it can be the same thing for wives where you say, yeah, I'll submit to my husbands, and you say it through gritted teeth and you give him that look and everything like that. Well, no, what it says here is this hard work that she's doing in the home for the good of her husband and for her family. She does that gladly. She works willingly, gladly with her hands. She does that gladly, but it's also diligently, very diligently when you read through this passage. You look at verse 15, it says, she riseth also while it is yet night. and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She rises early in the morning to make sure everything in the house is taken care of. Everything with their food, everything with all of that. Everything's set together for the day. She gets the kids up for school, and they didn't have the same setup that we have in our days. But trying to apply this to our day, she makes sure the kids are all ready for school. She makes sure everyone has need. She's up and about. She's ready to go for the day. She rises while it's still dark outside, this verse tells us. And again, everyone's lifestyle is going to be a little different. Some ladies have to work through the night. Some ladies have to do all of this stuff. But ladies, and Proverbs warns all of us about the sluggard and the slothful person. But ladies, a truly virtuous woman is one that's willing to get up in the morning and to get right to work. That's ready to go. She works diligently. Verse number 18, again, it says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and it says her candle goeth not out by night. And there are two different ways to take the fact that her candle goes not out by night. Some think it could be referring to the prosperity of the family, where the light stays on all night because they have just an abundance of money. And they have a lot of oil, and they're able to have, it was a sign of wealth to have your candle burning all night. That's one way to take it. But it also could mean as well that she gets up in the morning, she also works late into the night, she gets her rest, she takes care of herself. We're not encouraging, you know, don't drive yourself to an early grave or anything like that. But no, she's willing to stay up late and work on stuff. She's a diligent worker. We see it as well in verse number 27. It summarizes this whole concept very well. It says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. Then it says, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. She doesn't touch idleness. She's ready to go. She's ready to work. She's intentional. Karis and I laughed. She accused me the other day that intentional was my favorite word. And I joked with her and I said, well, actually, it's a very good word. I said, I think it's the best word because I think it's a good word. And we laughed about it because I was teasing her that I'm always right. And I do like to think that, but I'm definitely not. God is still humbling me in many different ways. But she is very intentional in her household. She's intentional with her lifestyle. Pastor mentioned this morning in talking about make sure you're intentional in teaching your kids what the Bible says. And so ladies, and husbands as well, this is good for all of us, but specifically ladies in this passage, be intentional with how you structure your day and how you use your time. The Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are fleeting. It says in the Psalms, teach us to number our days so that we can turn our hearts after you and not to pursue evil things. And so she works diligently. She manages her time well. But another interesting aspect as well, she embraces difficult work. You read through this and you see this is not a sissy lady. This is not a Victorian England, all laces and tea, and you wake up, you sleep in, and if you get up before a certain time, man, you must not be a proper lady. And you have to sit around, you sip tea, and you have to engage in all the gossip of the day, and whoever has the smoothest hands, well, that's the most beautiful lady. That's not the Proverbs 31 picture that's set here before us. You look at verse 16. It says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. This is a lady that's strong. She's not afraid to work. She's not afraid to get dirty. And she embraces that. It's interesting as well. She's not only a hard worker, she handles finances wisely. This is another thing that kind of struck me as I was reading through this passage. Because although you do see the situation where the wife is here, she's home, she's managing the household, I do believe the Bible, I mean, puts those orders in place. The husband should be the provider. The wife is typically the one that's home managing the household. But what you see as well, she engages in business. The Bible does not condemn women in the workforce. Now, what we're going to see is that her mentality, her focus in all of this, in her business transactions, in her industrious labor, it's not for her own good. It's not to just climb the corporate ladder, you could say. She's still intentionally focused on investing in her family. But that verse we just looked at, she considereth a field, she buyeth it. That's her looking at this field, and she thinks, she's not an impulsive buyer, she's seeing it, and she says, you know what? I think I can plant a vineyard, and that'll save us some money. You know what? I think I can do this, and I think I can actually sell some of this stuff and make a profit on it. You see that also in verse number 24. It says, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She's selling her she makes for her family. She's also saying, you know what? I think I do a pretty good job at this. I bet I could make some money off of this. And so she does. She handles finances wisely. She's a shrewd businesswoman, you could say. And again, I'm not, please don't walk away from here saying, you know what? I don't have a job and Pastor Nathan told me I need to go get, no, that's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is under, you could even put this under her hard worker mentality. Ladies, if you're just like, I have all this time on my hands, what should I do? Well, think and say, okay, is there a way that I could engage in some different things and I could help my family out? I'm very thankful that Karis works as a nurse off and on, and it really does help us. We're able to go out to a Japanese steakhouse today. That food was really, really good. I still have some at home. And you know, it helps us with our budget and everything like that. It's a huge asset to your husband, ladies, when you can bring in some type of that. So be wise in it, though. This is not a lady that just burns her husband's money. No, you look at even at verse 16. It says, with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. It's not like she took her husband's money and spent it all frivolously. No, what it actually is she took her own, I don't know if it was an allowance or something she had earned, maybe birthday money or something like that. It says, with the fruit of her hands, with her own money, would be an accurate interpretation of that as well. What she does is she says, I'm going to invest that and I'm going to use that for my family. She's not selfish, if you haven't gotten that already. This is a very unselfish, sacrificially serving lady. She handles finances wisely, but it's for the betterment of her family. And that's so important to see. She provides for her household and for others. This labor, this work that she's doing, it is in no means just, man, I want to be wealthier. Man, I want that fur coat. Man, I want to keep up with the Kardashians or whatever it is. You know, no, what she's doing is she's doing all of this to provide for her household. We saw that in verse 12 already. Well, it talked about she's going to do her husband good, not evil, all the days of his life. Verse 15, she's giving meat. She's preparing food for her household. She's willing to rise late in the night. She's willing to rise early in the morning to do all of that. In verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. And what that's emphasizing there is she's worked ahead to prepare for the winter. She doesn't have to worry about winter, first of all, because she's trusting God. But what it's emphasizing here is she's not worried about that because she's already prepared for that. She's already taken care of the needs that her children are going to have in winter. They're going to be plenty warm. Someone pointed out as I was studying that scarlet could only be used to dye wool. And so what it's saying here is her children have these wool, warm coats that they can wear. They're not scared of the cold. They're ready for it. But she also gives to the needy. It says there in verse number 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not just taking care of her husband. She's not just providing for her children and her household. She's also saying, you know what, here's someone that has less than me. From this work that I've been doing, from my husband's work, from the resources that I have, from these clothes that I'm making, I'm able to give this and be a blessing to some people that are in need. She has enough left over to where she says, I can do this, I can sacrifice and give to these other people. Have we mentioned that she's intentional in using her time wisely and serving others? That's a huge theme through this. She doesn't waste her life. She works to invest in other people, and she provides for others. She's very unselfish in that way. She speaks wisdom, though, we see in chapter 31 and verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. When this lady opens her mouth, when a virtuous woman opens her mouth, what comes out is worth listening to. What comes out is truth. What comes out is mercy. What comes out is justice. It's not gossip. It's not slander. It's not backbiting. It's not contention we already saw earlier. No, when she opens her mouth, it's worth listening to. It's godly speech. And the only way that happens, as we've been seeing all throughout Proverbs, the only way that I am able to speak wisdom is if I have wisdom. Ladies, you're never going to be able to speak wisdom into your children's lives or into the life of your husband, or if you're single, if you're not going to be able to speak into your friends' lives and the people around you if you don't have that relationship with God and the wisdom in your heart. The reason this lady can do everything that she can is because she has a heart that is full of wisdom. And my grandpa used this illustration when he was here in March, where he talked about having a cup full of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you remember this illustration. I thought it was really good. It stuck with me. He said, if I have a cup full of water, and it gets put in a situation, it gets jostled around, what's going to come out? Well, whatever's in that cup. I mean, that's obvious. But if we're full of wisdom, and we have to open our mouth, if we get jostled, if we are full of wisdom, you know what's going to come out of our mouth? It's going to be wisdom. It's going to be the fruits of the Spirit that come out in those situations. But as Pastor mentioned earlier, it's our walk that talks louder than our talk. And it's interesting here, just one verse is dedicated to the fact that this lady speaks wisdom. All the other verses are about, here's what she does. Here is her character. And so moms, yes, speak wisdom. Yes, speak that truth. But be these other things as well. If you're telling, again, we mentioned this earlier, if you're constantly telling your children to submit and obey you and you're not submitting and obeying to the authorities that God has placed over you, whether it's a husband, it could even be a leader, it could be the church, it could be the government, whatever it is, if you're constantly showing signs of rebellion and distrust, that's what they're going to emulate. Pastor said it this morning, and he had it from another man, but you can't hear a person's words over the shouting of their character. Our character shrouds, it covers the words of our mouth if they don't match up. And so we must have that character if we're going to be teaching. Then number five, and this is not just a tag on. It's here in the passage, but it's not just in addition to all of these other things. What really this is the foundation for everything. This is the summary definition. A virtuous woman in her consistent character, she is a person that fears the Lord. An unsaved lady could work on all of these things. She could maybe possibly discipline herself and show some of these things at times. She's not going to be speaking true wisdom. She may sound wise. Ladies, you could work on the outside. You could have that. You could form yourselves to a certain standard. You can make yourselves to a specific standard. But if it's not done out of a heart that reverences the Lord and wants to serve Him, it's worthless. Just as for all of us, when we say, okay, I'm going to pattern my life out of this, I'm going to do 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 this, and we never address the heart, well, I'm now doing great things on the outside, but that's what the problem with the Pharisees. They had all this stuff on the outside, right? But Jesus said, you're whitewashed tombs. You look great. You're nice and white on the outside. Inside, there's all this dead and rottenness and grossness. And ladies, verse number 30, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's not just a tag on here. I had to put number 5 there for the outline's sake. But you notice the title of the message is The Woman Who Fears the Lord. Because what we're looking at is, okay, this is what a woman does that fears the Lord. Women, you may struggle to reverence your husband. You may struggle to want to submit to him. And Pastor mentioned this to me. We were talking just the other night, and he said, you know, what it really is you're submitting to another person because you're submitting to the Lord. The reason, ladies, that you submit to your husbands is because really what you're doing is you're submitting to the Lord when you do that. You can force yourself under another person. You can do that. But if it's not coming of a heart of reverence that says, man, I want to serve the Lord. God is so great. I have this reverence, this awe for Him. We sang, how great Thou art tonight. Lord, You are a great God. Therefore, I want to serve You. That's why she works willingly. That's why she works gladly. That's why she serves in all of these ways. Because in her heart, she has that relationship with God, first through salvation, but then where she's just growing and saying, God, I want to serve You. Tell me what Your Word says about that. And so ladies, if you're sitting here listening to these things, or if even in your life, these have been a real difficulty for you, then first get back and fix your relationship with the Lord. We always need to be going back to the heart of the issue. That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 4, put off. And then before it says put on, put off. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then put on the new man. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, Romans 12 tells us, by the renewing of our mind. We're not going to be able to change. We're not going to be able to live this out in our homes, in our communities, in our lives, if we don't have a mind that's constantly going back to the Bible. And a mind that says, Lord, I love you, therefore I'm going to serve. Now, even when that love for God is not there perfectly, deal with that as soon as you can. But that's not an excuse just to say, okay, I'm not going to love my husband, not going to love my family. No, do the right thing, even if you don't feel like it. But then as soon as you get the opportunity, say, Lord, I need help. I feel far from you. Lord, I need you. Restore unto me that clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Let me know your presence, Lord. I want to be close to you. And so this is not just a tag on. We must be people that are ultimately committed to fearing the Lord. That's why Proverbs starts with that. We saw that in Proverbs chapter 1 so many weeks ago. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise knowledge and instruction. Proverbs starts with the fear of the Lord and it ends with the fear of the Lord. You see that here. Where it says, this is the most important thing. Fear the Lord. Have that relationship with Him. This is the character of the virtuous woman that we see here in Proverbs chapter 31. She's a hard worker. She uses her time wisely. She handles the finances wisely. She's a shrewd business person. Someone said that she's a prudent investor in this way. She provides for her household and for others. She's not focused on her own needs. It is interesting, just so you know, in verse number 22, there is one verse where it does talk about her doing something for herself. She does take care of herself. Ladies, don't serve out of complete neglect and complete sacrifice of yourself. Jesus Christ even took times to get away and rest and to pray and to be alone. And so ladies, make sure you are taken care of. But ultimately, her focus is on other people. She's providing for other people. She's speaking wisdom out of her mouth. And then most importantly, she has a heart that's right with God and that relationship there that is doing that. Last thing we see in this passage, and this is the encouraging part, she has deserved praise here. And husbands, this is where I just say, if you see these things being modeled in your wives, praise them for that. These are not light expectations that God lays on a woman. Just like God lays on us the expectation of conforming to Jesus Christ, and as husbands, love is Christ's love, we see in Ephesians 5, give yourselves for your wives. Well, husbands, when we see this character in our wives, let's honor that. Let's praise that. Verse 28 says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. It's interesting. I was studying that a little bit this afternoon, and just the fact that her children are arising up and calling her blessed. Moms, you're not going to get the praise right in the moment. You're not going to get that right away. The five-year-old that thinks he has the coolest mom ever, you know what that mom's telling him he can do? He can do whatever he wants. A five-year-old, he's like, man, I have the coolest mom. Well, most likely, if you're raising your children the right way, your five-year-old may not be the one that says that to you. Your five-year-old may be thinking, I really don't like what mom and dad are asking me to do. That's how it was for me, probably. I don't remember everything I was thinking when I was 5 years old. I knew my parents loved me, but it wasn't like I was like, oh, I'm so thankful for my parents. But as I grew up and I grew older and older and older, you know what? I grow more thankful for my parents every year. I call my parents blessed today. My first mom passed away when I was 13 years old, and this isn't to be a sob story or anything like that, but my grandmother had us write out on Valentine's Day just how much she had invested in our lives. And I'm ashamed to admit it. The first time she said that, I was like, okay, I'll do this. It's kind of going to be a drudgery to do. Like really, at 12 years old, I was like, yeah, I'll write this out. And then I wrote out some great things about my mom and everything like that, and I was glad I did it. But that was a chore for me. You know, I look back at that today and I'm like, why didn't I write more? There's so much more I could have said about how big of a blessing she was in my life. How big of a blessing my dad was in my life. It's as children get older and older and older that they arise up and they say, you know what, I now understand why mom and dad did that. I now understand the love that my mom had for me. They arise up and they call her blessed. And God says, that is coming. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Your husband may not see it right now, but it says he also, he praises her. And this is what they say, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. At the start of the passage, it said that a virtuous woman was rare. Well, now they're saying, okay, even if there were many people that were doing this, the husband's looking at his wife and saying, you excel them all. The children are saying, you are the best mom. Thank you so much. This is the woman that fears the Lord. This is the woman that is the glorious, the greatest woman. She has all this glory around her. So you have her husband praising her. You have her children praising her. But it's interesting, in verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, ladies, even if you don't hear the verbal praise of other people, when people see what you've accomplished, when people see different things that you know what's going to happen? Your own works are going to come back and praise you for what you've done. You don't need to be the one singing your praise. If you've been a virtuous woman, people are going to look at your children and say, wow, that they must have had a fantastic mother. Man, that husband, he must have a wonderful wife at home. Look what he's able to do. It's going to come back and it's going to praise you. It's interesting, it mentions there in the gates. The gates was the center of the community where people would walk in and out, where people would talk. They would talk about different things. Remember at the start of Proverbs, it says, wisdom is crying forth in the gates. She's right there in the center of the commerce and everything. Well, ladies, you're going to be praised in the community as well. And I hope our church is a community that when they see a wonderful woman, when they see a wonderful lady, I hope that we are a community here that says, praise the Lord for that person. Praise her as well. We should be showing honor to people whom honor is due, ultimately to the Lord, but say, thank you such and such, such and such a person for being such a wonderful example. And maybe the Lord's placed someone on your mind even tonight. There's nothing wrong after the service just going up and say, thank you for the example and the encouragement that you've been to my life. Maybe you're thinking back and you're like, man, I need to text my mom and dad. And if it's Mother's Day, I hope you've already texted your mom. But maybe you say, man, I should send them another text and just thank them again for what they've done in my life. Because those are the ladies that are deserving of praise. So let's give praise to whom praise is due. Favor is deceitful. The attractiveness, the person that you just enjoy being around. I heard boys, I've not even been married for years, so I know people that are just getting into the dating thing, and they would always say, man, there are some girls that are just fun to date, but I would never be married to her. Well, you know, these attractive personalities, these fun people to be around, that's deceitful. You don't want to marry that type of person. That's deceiving. Beauty is vain. It's empty. It's fleeting. Beauty, outward beauty, fades away. And it says, don't put your stock in that. Ladies, your value is not in how you look. The Bible says that again and again and again. It says, but a woman that feareth the Lord, a woman that patterns her life around these things that we've looked at in these verses because of her love and adoration of her God, that is the woman that is worthy to be praised. And so let's praise that. Let's honor that. And thank you all for the examples that you've been to Karis and I, and for the ladies that we have in this church. I am very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for the ladies I have in my life and the wife that I have. But ladies, let's keep working on these things. There's always something we can do to change and to grow. And I don't know what it is the Lord's talked with you specifically about tonight, but after I pray, we're just going to have a quiet time. We'll have some piano music playing, but we'll just have a quiet time where we can reflect and say, okay, Lord, what's the next step for me? Maybe something in your marriage, or maybe something with your children. Maybe you don't feel like you've had that relationship with your husband that you should have. Maybe it's just, hey, let me talk to you, husband. I'm sorry for only ever investing in my children. I'm sorry for not investing in you as well. I'm sorry that my love for you has not been the greatest. Whatever it needs to be, let's talk to the Lord and ask Him to help us with that tonight. We'll pray, and then we'll have a moment of silent reflection and prayer afterwards. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for just the clear pictures that are painted. Lord, thank you for this hard-working, diligent, sacrificial lady that is pictured in these verses. Lord, one that is not focused on herself. She's first of all focused on fearing you. Lord, secondly, she's focused on serving her husband and then her family and her children. And then, Lord, people outside her home as well. God, I pray that you would be with every lady in this church, whatever the need is, whatever the next step of growth is for them. I pray that they would be willing to take it. And God, may this be a church of many beautiful, wonderful ladies who are worthy of praise. Thank you for the ladies that we have in this church. And may we just continue to grow that and teach that to our children as well. We ask this for your sake and your glory. Amen. Let's take some time, just reflect and pray. Ask God to give us the grace to do this.